We are so glad to have you here with us this morning. We are getting ready to embark on a brand new spiritual adventure. We're going to kick it off with a new series together next week entitled Dig Deep. It's all about opening up Jesus' heart to us. Now, that said, just want to ask if this would be a fair statement or not in your estimation. Jesus has expectations and desires for each of us. Fair statement? Yes or no? Okay. Now, even in saying that, no, like, Jesus has expectations, desires of me, that may put us, you know, back on our heels. And so important to realize this, that every one of them that he has are purpose-filled. That is, he has great purpose in every one of those expectations and desires. And we'll discover that they're inspiring to us as well. Now, full disclosure is this, they're not always easy. That is his expectations and desires for us. But they are always good. If you're not a follower of Jesus yet, or maybe you had a friend who's not a follower of Jesus yet, what we're going to be embarking on together is perfect for you. Because how important is it to be able to, on the outside looking in, or come along into here, so what are Jesus' expectations? What are his desires for followers of his? And you can base your decision on whether or not you want to follow him, hearing these just clearly opened up and expressed that way. Now, as I thought about what this has for us potential-wise, I knew that without the right tools, then we're going to get handicapped in what we're going to be able to get out of that. So today, you'll see on top of your handout sheet, we've put this heading on there, two tools for growth. You could put it this, tools for digging deep spiritually in our lives. Now, I've got a couple of tools here that I actually became intimately acquainted with on our first construction trip going down to Nicaragua. We went down there with the intention, of course, of constructing the clinic. Now, the clinic that's up and running right now, I'm so happy to report that we serve 1,000 people plus every month in this clinic there. So just an incredible thing that, you know, Fox River's been able to partner with God in doing that way. But on our first trip down there, when we were going down there to construct this, of course, the team I brought down there, we were planning on constructing, which means we're going to be building something in what direction? Yeah, we're going to be building it up from the ground. We planned on constructing. But we got there, and they told us before we were going to be able to start the construction as we planned it, that first of all, that we were going to have to put in some pylons. Because we're up in the mountains there, and because of the volcanic activity in the area, in Nicaragua, and the often earthquakes that go on down there, we had to have a number of pylons underneath the clinic that it was going to be tied into. 36 of them, in fact. They told us that we were going to have to dig 36 holes, 7 feet deep, 3.5 feet wide, 4 feet long. And I'm like, whoa, that's a lot of holes. I said, do we have the equipment here to do it? You know, the augers, the backhoes, etc. And they told me, yes, we have the equipment here to do it. But it wasn't what I was thinking. They had the equipment there for us to do it. We had to dig every one of those 36 holes by hand. The small team that we brought down there. In fact, this picture is looking up out of the hole. I mean, you know, they shot down, and you're looking up and out of this hole. Now, fortunately, we only had one of this size. That's actually Matt and Larry that are down there. This was another hole that had to be dug with these tools here and by hand. So when I say I became intimately acquainted, I realized you could dig deep with these tools. And I had no idea what the potential of them was before I went down there. Maybe the same thing today with the tools that God would have for us to be able to dig deep in our lives with. The first of which is this, his word. In other words, God's word. One of the things that God's word brings to us is a challenge. And we've framed it up as we're looking to these to this Dig Deep series with a very specific challenge. This is for all of Fox River family, but it's all for friends. It's for those that you know on the outside that are just ready for a significant challenge, which is going to be to read through the entire New Testament in 9 weeks. Now, you may have never read through the entire New Testament at all. You may have read through it a number of times before, but we're going to do it together in 9 weeks. Now, you'd ask the question, why would I do that? Why would I want to do that? Which is a good question, right? You always should push back against, you know, something that's especially a challenge of this significance. So, a couple of reasons I think that you'd go, oh yeah, that would be why I'd want to do it. The first one being this, that you're going to find it to be profitable. In fact, God says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 16, all scripture is inspired by God and useful. In fact, some translations just put the word profitable in there. All scriptures inspired by God and it's profitable to teach us what's true, to make us realize what's wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us to do what's right. So here's the great thing about the Bible. God never comes to you and says, hey, let me tell you what's wrong in your life to be able to say to you, I just want you to feel bad. I want to push you down. I want you to be put in your place. The only reason God ever points out what's wrong in our lives is to help us to get to the place where we're doing what's right in our lives or that which is going to help us that way. And he may say, let me show you an area that needs attention, though a lot of times we don't need him to say, you know, I know that I need attention here. But he does it with, let me show you how this, there's help and hope for you in what it is that you're dealing with in your life. And then he goes on to say this. He uses it, that is his word, to prepare us and equip us to do every good work. Every good thing that God would want for us to be able to do in our lives, he said, I'll use the Bible to help you to get there. Profitable. There are few things in life that guarantee a profitable return. This is one that will guarantee it. Now, another reason you might go like, oh, that would be a why as far as, you know, picking up this challenge. It's because it will be a means whereby we're able to listen to God, to allow God to speak to us. Now, there are many ways that God can speak to us, but the primary way that he does so is through his word. And if we are not open to his word, the other means of communication get cut off to us. So if you want to be able to allow, literally, to let God speak into your life, sometimes in just like, it takes your breath away. I mean, like, I can't believe that it's just speaking to exactly what I'm facing right now. Then you want to be able to open the Bible and allow him to do so. And then a third reason, we just said because of what Jesus said. Here's what he says. If you have a Bible with you, let's go to John chapter 8 real quickly. Verse number 32. For some, it may be your life verse or your my verse. If you didn't bring a Bible with you, if you grab the Pew Bible, we can go over to page 1663. You'll find this passage there. Verse 32 says this. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Jesus said, I want you to know the truth because of what the truth will bring to you in your life, the freeing power of the truth. Now, if that's all that Jesus had to say, we'd already be going like, well, that's what I want in my life. That's encouraging. That's inspiring. But this, verse 32, is actually the second part of his statement. I want you to see the whole statement that he makes. So you're going to have to back it up to verse number 31. Verse 31 says, to the Jews who had believed him. In other words, these are the individuals who had put their trust in Jesus. So to those who had put their trust in him, he said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So he said, anyone that is truly a follower of mine is going to be a person that's open and is exposing themselves to my teaching. Now, the New Testament is the teaching of Jesus. Just out of curiosity, anybody have a Bible out there that has red print in it? Anybody out there with red print in there in your Bibles? Got a few of them out there? Okay. Now, some publishers thought in order to highlight the words of Jesus that they would print them in red. So, I mean, great idea. Jesus' words are very, very important, his spoken words. However, it could lead you to a wrong conclusion. And the conclusion it could lead you to is you have red words and you have black words. Which are the more important words? Yeah, the red words, right? Red words really important. The black words are, you know, kind of take it or leave it kind of stuff. Understand this, that Jesus would say the entire New Testament should be in red. It's all my teaching. And as someone that's a follower of mine, I want you to be acquainted with my teaching, which is one more reason that we want to put this challenge out in front of us. And it is something that you can do. Now, here's a couple of helps that we've provided for you to be able to do it. Next week when we come, we'll have a guide for everybody. So it's a dig deep guide. Every day for 9 weeks, it'll tell you, here's a passage to read from the Bible and a place if you want to take a note or two in there, you're going to be able to do so. You can do these readings in 15 minutes or less. If you're a slow reader, maybe 15 minutes. For others, it's not going to take you that long to be able to accomplish it that way. So you pick up a guide. They'll also be with our church, you know, with our app, so you can put it on your mobile device. They'll be on the website as well that way. But you need a guide. What else do you think you're going to need to read through the New Testament in 9 weeks? A guide and a Bible of some sort, right? Now, if you got a Bible, it's like, hey, I'm all set. I'm ready to go. But for those who don't, this can be a daunting task. I mean, there's so many different kinds of Bibles out there. Where do you go? How do you start? Or I've got this old Bible. Is this the best Bible for me to use? So let me just kind of, you know, make it really easy. If you haven't read the New Testament through yet, get a NLT. It stands for New Living Translation. You can pick one up at the our resource table in the back if you want, or just go online. You know, pop over to Amazon right here. Just type in New Living Translation Bible, and first page you're going to get this. I mean, on the top of it, you can get a Bible New Living Translation for $3.47. I can only imagine how small the type size is in a $3.47 Bible, but you can do it, and it's on Prime nonetheless. Or if you can spend a little bit more, an NLT study Bible or a life application Bible. So you got $28, you got $31. It's actually a buck or two cheaper than what we can do it. I mean, we get them here, we sell them at our cost. We just do it as, you know, something that would be a convenience for anybody that wanted to do it. But just grab yourself a Bible. Or you can download one. You might want to get an app and download one on your device. Personally, that's what I do. About 3 years ago, I did something that surprised me. I went out, downloaded an app to try reading the Bible on my iPad. Now, you got to realize how just out of character it is for me to do this. I am a solid book kind of person. I have literally over 2,000 books in my library. I like to have a highlighter in my hand. I highlight them. I write notes in them. I'll put notes in the back. I can pick one back up and go right to it. I got the first Kindle that came out, and I hated it. Just it wasn't working for me at all. So the very thought of reading the Bible on my iPad, you know, just like, you got to be kidding me. But for some reason, I downloaded an app, and you know what? For me, personally, it's the most useful. It's something I just enjoy doing that way. I don't read any other books, you know, on an iPad or Kindle or anything like that. But my Bible, it's just different that way. The app I use costs you $5-6. It's called the NIV Bible by Techcarta. You can do it on Android. You can do it on Apple that way. It's got all the different versions you want, but it allows me to highlight. You can take notes in there. It's got some, you know, definitions. Just such a helpful thing. Maybe for me, it's such a different break that it lets the Bible, you know, become something again that God just speaks to me without any of the other distractions that a book could bring to me that way. But if that works for you, download an app. It's even cheaper than getting it on, you know, just a paper version of it. We're also going to provide audio. For some, when we read, about 5 years ago, we read through the New Testament together, about 20% of our congregation just used audio, CDs, to be able to do it. Now, since that time, we've got both the CDs, we've got MP3 files, so you can put it on your, you know, on your iPod, your iPad, your computers, you know, et cetera, that way. But if you are an audio learner, you go like, I want to get this, we've got them all divided out in daily readings, you can pick that up next week that way. I was interested, in addition to the 20% that listened to the Bible, another 20%, when we did this one other time, actually listened to it and had it opened in front of them. So they used both audio and written simultaneously. And that just worked for them. I'm like, I'd have never thought that. But the more people I talked to that did it, they said, like, it's just so helpful for us. So I'm like, oh, that's another option. So in order to do the challenge, you'll pick up a guide, grab a Bible, and the last thing you want to do is just set an appointment. That is, you want to pick a time that you could listen to God in the most undistracted time that you could. So let me just do a quick survey here. If you were to take 15 minutes out of your day, the most, you know, the time you feel like this would be the best time for me just to open the Bible to read through it, how many would say your best time would be in the morning? How many would be a morning person? Okay, good. How many would be at lunch, either over lunch or sometime in the afternoon? Okay, several people that have done that as well. How many be like, for me, it'd be the evening. Okay, I've got a lot with the evening here. Now, you know which one of these is best? Go ahead and say it. Yeah, no, it's everybody says, oh, it's the one, you know, it's mine, right? No, it's the one that will work for you. So whenever it is, and by simply setting that appointment, You'll be there, you'll do it, and all of a sudden you'll go like, this works for me. Now, you may want to change it up on the weekends, and if so, go for it. But hear me say this, you can do it. If it's your very first time, if you never read the Bible before, if you're not even sure what you believe or not, it's like, you can do this. And I want to invite you to join with us in doing this. In fact, say that with me just one time, would you? I can do this. Say it, I can do it. You could read through the New Testament in 9 weeks, and I think you'll discover it to be profitable. Now, the other tool that we will discover more than anything else helps us to dig deep, to find a ways of growing in our life, is going to be people. In fact, here's a Bible maxim with regards to people. God partners with people to accomplish his work. Not in himself. I just go like, that's amazing, isn't it? It would seem to me that people would just slow God down. People, it's like, you know, that just complicates things. God, why would you partner with people to accomplish your work? So, I mean, the statement of itself is significant. But if you're taking notes today, I want you to just write one word over the word people here. Write this statement down. God partners with, here it is, say it, imperfect. God partners with imperfect people to accomplish his work, which makes it all the more amazing. Just checking. How many qualify here on the imperfect side? Okay, you know what that means? That means God can use someone like you to help him in accomplishing his work. It means you don't have to get your act together. Means you don't have to have everything figured out. You don't have to be spiritually mature. You don't have to grow up or be a grown up to partner with God in the work that he wants to do. Cool, huh? Now let's take our Bibles one more time and go to Hebrews chapter 10. Along this idea, God uses people. See what he has to say about this in growing. Hebrews chapter 10, which is page 1872 in our Pew Bible. In verse number 24 says, let us consider how we may spur one another on, fascinating term, to spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as the some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another and all the more as you see the day approaching. Now, here's the big idea of what's being said here. You see the people in here. But God looked at the scene, and he said, I see on the horizon a big problem coming. In this case, with those that were the Hebrews that this was written to, so Jewish Christians, he knew that in just a very, very short time, the city of Jerusalem was going to be leveled to the ground. It was going to be destroyed, and nothing would ever be the same there. And he said, I know there's trouble in front of you, and if you miss out here, you are not going to be prepared for it. Now, same thing's true today. God looks on our horizons and says, I see problems coming, which unfortunately is true for all of us. And if you are, in this case, giving up on meeting together, he's like, oh, it's not going to go good for you. There's two different ways that we could be meeting together. We'll put it this way, little drawing. We could meet together in either, we'll call it rows, or we could meet together in what we would refer to as circles. So, groups of people together that way. Today, we are gathered in what? Right now, we're in what? Yeah, we're in rows right now. In fact, you can probably pick yourself out with where you're at on one of the rows right here. Now, both of these are good. Both of them are helpful. So neither is getting dissed, but we're going to have to ask ourselves a question about which is God primarily speaking to here. Some of the benefits, the dynamics of both would be this. When you are in rows or in a congregation together, you can receive instruction, right? You can be inspired, for sure. And we can also have this benefit that's taken place, which is a learning environment. We hope that that's, that takes place in a great way here for us. So that's what takes place in a congregation. Now, on the other side of that, you take the circle dynamic or the circle gatherings, those dynamics are different. In a circle, you can have conversation. Now, when you have conversation taking place in rows, that's not good. In today's speak, if you got people texting while they're in rows, that's not good, right? Conversation allows us to do application, greater understanding of what's being said, and bottom line, life change. Because life change takes place best in community. Now, here's the question. Both are important, but which was God primarily talking about? Don't miss out on this gathering together because of what's in front of you. Was God primarily in Hebrews talking about rows? Or was he primarily talking about circles? Vote, rows, circles. I mean, said circles just because you think that's what I'm going to say. Safe, right? Actually, the Bible there is talking about circles. It's about the importance of getting in these groups together. Therefore, a dig deep challenge that we're going to have for us is, would you find a circle to participate in during this dig deep and this New Testament reading we're going through? Now, we're not going to tell you got to do it for the rest of your life, but just for those 9 weeks, would you find a group to be in? Now, if I were to ask, how many have ever been in a circle group here at Fox River? Can I see your hands? Okay, some of you have. Don't have to convince you. If you've never been in a circle group, I know there are hurdles that we are facing in just saying that. And I'm somewhat familiar with hurdles, having done hurdles and track before. When you start out in hurdles, there's two kinds of hurdles, actually. The first hurdle that you run as a hurdler is called a low hurdle. This is the height of a low hurdle. So you come running up to it, you hurdle it, or you jump over it, you run to the next, you jump over it, you jump over it. There's 10 of these in a race. Now, how many could hurdle this, do you think? Maybe not now, but it's sometime in your life. How many at one time could have hurdled this? Yeah, you're going like, I can do that. I could face that hurdle. Then we came to what they told us were the high hurdles. This is the height of a high hurdle. You are supposed to come running up to this and hurdle it and go on to the next one. The first time I saw a high hurdle and was ready to run up to it, I thought, I know I can go under it. I thought I would need a pole to vault over this, the high hurdle. This was the end of Guy Kahn's hurdling career when we got to hurdles of this height. When it comes to groups, as I said, circle groups, you've never been in one, there's at least 10 hurdles that you're facing. And you can decide whether it's a low hurdle or a high hurdle for you. First one that everybody's going to have to face is time. Now, if you've got 90 minutes that you're doing nothing right now, you're sitting around or you're taking a nap and you're just saying, like, I wish I could find something to fill these 90 minutes of my life, it's not a hurdle for you. But if you travel, if you've got a full schedule, I mean, if you're like a little overtaxed right now, thin on margin of time, you come to this hurdle of trying to add another 90-minute commitment into your current schedule, for you, is that low or high? Just say it for you. Yeah, it's both. I mean, for some it's high, for others it's low. Another one would be a bad experience. If you've ever been in a circle group and you had a bad experience, for me saying now you need to get into a circle group, you're just going like, ain't gonna happen, guy. I remember the last time there. I remember how I was made, you know, I was embarrassed, or I got this circle and I was the only normal person there. I mean, it was just like weird people. Now, again, if everybody's normal and you're not, it still is a weird situation, right? I mean, so this is a weird situation. I'm in, and you're like, no more of that for me. That'd be a high, high, high hurdle for you. For some, you might be an introvert. When an introvert is told, you need to go into a group and talk with other people, do you know what they think? They think this. Right, it's like, that is the last thing that I want to do. High hurdle. For some, you're going like, I don't see any purpose in it. I just really don't see any value in it whatsoever. And that's a hurdle for you. You may have a fear, be uncomfortable. That's a hurdle. It might be number six, distance. I mean, I got to travel to get to church. Now I got to travel to get to a group. And you think that is prohibitive. We may or may not have one that's out in your neck of the woods. Seven, I don't know the Bible. How many here like to go into a group and prove that you're stupid? I mean, like, let me prove it to everybody, right? I mean, like, nobody wants to do that. And if it's a group and they're going to be talking about the Bible, you figure you got to know what to get into the group. You got to know about it, right? So you're like, I can't do that. That's a high hurdle. It's not true, but it's still considered to be a hurdle. Or very closely, I'm not spiritually where I want to be. We look at people that are in circle groups and think those are people that have their act together, right? And if you don't have your act together, you're like, well, I'm not ready for that. Truth is, circles are for those that not only don't have their acts together, but for those that don't even know if you believe or what you believe. That's the environment of learning that way. Number nine, you may just go like, I got no desire. You know, I have no interest in this whatsoever. I put that in the high hurdle category. Or number 10, you may not know where to get started. Now again, why? Why would I try to hurdle this, get into a group when I'm not in one? Because it is profitable. Maybe a little different way than what you'd be thinking right now, the profit that comes at difficult times in life. This is Pete and Lynn's story. Let me just share that with you real quickly.
Hi, I'm Pete Olivas, and this is my wife, Lynn. It really hit home as a couple when I had to have back surgery this past March and April. And I ended up in the hospital for 60 days and in the rehab hospital for another 30 days. I really found that I was missing church. Not the building, not the pastors necessarily, but I was missing the church, the body, our brothers and sisters in Christ. And our journey group just really rallied around us at that point.
I actually was not from the area when I came to the state to marry Pete. So I was looking for more of the fellowship and the connection as an extension of a family. And that's exactly what I got.
It just made such a difference knowing that we had people that loved and cared for us as individuals and were part of our lives and we were part of their lives. And we could share the joys and share the sorrows.
we have found, which I would hope for anybody that's involved in a journey team, it's a safe environment with a good dose of cheering and laughter to go with it.
Yeah. Journey group isn't always just about getting together and studying the Bible. I mean, that's part of what we do, but it's more so just getting involved in each other's lives and getting that connection that we need to have to experience what God wants us to have in church.
I saw Pete and Lynn out there today. Could we just say thank you to them for a willingness to share their story with us? And to tell you, Pete, that hurt. I mean, I got feelings too. It just cut me that way. One of the other things he didn't get to share with us, their group, when Pete was in the hospital in this three-month ordeal he was going through, he's a big Badger fan, and of course, the Badgers were in the Final Four. His entire group came and brought the Final Four party up to their hospital floor. So they got in a room that were up there, you know, the guest room that was up there, you know, the visitor room. And this party just went on for that game, kind of spilled out over to the whole floor that way. I mean, that's what a group wants to do to be able to step into life with us. Now, Liz's story, a little bit different, but maybe more to task with what we're saying here. Liz said, as a 20-something and new believer, I was venturing in the Bible for the first time. I was insecure in my faith. I understood the gospel, was doing my best to live it, but lacked any real biblical knowledge. When Pastor Guy announced the New Testament Challenge, I was 100% on board. I knew it was what I needed, accountability to dive into God's Word. But Pastor Guy took a further step and challenged our congregation to join a journey or small group of people to discuss the readings and grow together. That terrified me. Exposing myself to someone who still needed to use the table of contents in the Bible to find my way, it just scared me. I was afraid I'd be judged, but I felt God nudging me toward a group. And though I'll know nervous, it was a very turning point in my spiritual journey. I slowly plugged in, finding encouragement, friendship, and actually accountability partners to keep me engaged in God's Word. I realized that being a student of God's Word is possible for anyone now, even someone trying it for the first time. Nearly 2 years later, that hunger continues. I'm trying to continuously be a student of the Word, not to prove anything or to feel more secure in my salvation, but simply to draw near to God daily and to let Him speak to me. Now, we want to help because this hurdle of how do you do it, how do you find one, that could be daunting, and we want to get it as low as we possibly can. So one of the things, of course, you could do if you're not in a group right now would be to come tonight to what we call Journey Link at 6 o'clock. Journey Link is where you come and you can find a group that you like. It's the best part of the draft. In other words, remember what it was like when you were a kid on the playgrounds and you were waiting to get picked? Some of you waited longer than others, right? You know that waiting was like. At Journey Link, you get to pick. You are the one that gets to choose the group that you want to be in, and there's a lot of different ones there. We'll have men's group and women's groups and mixed groups and couples groups. We've got young couples groups. We've got 20-some groups. We are very, very, you know, enthused about this. We've got new high school groups. They're meeting all across, you know, the area right now. If you're a high schooler, then just take your card today, put high schooler group on it. We'll help you to find a group to plug in. You'll find it to be life-changing. We've got groups for people, again, that don't, you know, it's like, I'm just starting this whole, you know, spiritual exploration. You know, all of those that are there. Now, if you couldn't make it tonight, you can stop by a table in the gym afterwards and, you know, get help. Or just take your communication card right now and just put groups help. Two words, groups help on it. We'll call you this week and help you to find a group that you'll be comfortable in and be able to do and get even more out of this Bible reading and this working together, being able to ask the questions that come up or to get a little bit of help along the way with that. So encouraged with regards to this. So we tie it up now. This week, you know, kind of preparing yourself for what's ahead, you might want to read, and here's what I would encourage you, Psalm 119. Now, it's actually the longest chapter of the Bible, but take a whole week to read it. You know, it's got 176 verses, so just read maybe 20, 30 a day. It's all about the Bible. It's a chapter in the Bible that's just all about the Bible, and you'll see all these different facets of what God hopes you to come to discover about Him and His Word that way. Our bottom line. Bottom line for Dig Deep is that you're going to experience God's heart. In fact, bottom line for Fox River. And as you know, our mission, you know, just kind of lays it out here. It's Fox River's heart is that you would experience God's heart. You know, big buckets there, but individually, that you, wherever you're at, would experience God's heart for you now. And speaking of God's heart, something else we'll hope to open up and dig deep that I can just don't have time for, but I'll just, you know, give you a little glimpse of. It's coming. Impacting thousands of children and hundreds of families. If you've got your communication card, I'm going to ask you if you are ready and willing to pre-commit. Here's what a pre-commitment is. Take your card out, and on the back of it right now, here's what I want you to do. If you're willing to make a commitment, I will try this New Testament challenge we're going to do. I just want you to put a one, because we know what one means. So just put a one on the back of your card right now. That means I'm pre-committing to reading through this. If you're willing to find a circle group so you're not doing it alone, you know, we want you to find friends, invite them in. They don't have to be a part of church here. Just invite them. Hey, join me in this group or join me in this reading. Here's what we're going to do. Then all I want you to do is put a two. You know, here's what I'm going to do. And if you need help with that, just put help groups. We'll be able to contact with you about that. We'll take our cards when we're done. We'll put them in the baskets on the way out as we leave today. Let's pray together. Thank you, Father, that you have given us tools to be able to go further and deeper than we've really ever imagined. There's so much more that's out there for us, and I pray that everybody will discover it. Discover it through your word, discover it through people. Help us, we pray. We ask this in your name, Jesus, and everybody in agreement said, amen.